and welcome everybody to another Sacred Wisdom podcast. In this podcast today, we are going to discuss what is called the tectonic quakes. And these are moonquakes that happen on the moon. Many don't realize this has gone on for many, many years. And what is actually creating these moonquakes? Some explain them to be asteroids and tidal rises on Earth. But we're going to look into this deeper today. And I am joined with my incredible brother, Stephen Denman. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing very well. I'm very busy at the moment, as I seem to have been over the last few months. And I hope all is good with you, Zach.
Very good, my brother. Very good. So first and foremost, just give a little bit on what your opinion is on what these tectonic quakes are or moonquakes.
Well, I think before we go into discussing, you know, in terms of concepts and ideas or theorizing as to what these seismic quakes or tectonic quakes or weird quakes really are that are going on the moon, we have to remember that contemporary studies have confirmed that our moon is much older than originally thought. So that's in itself rather anomalous. It may be also far older than planet Earth or perhaps even our yellow dwarf star called the Sun. And we've been told by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, and the European Space Agency, or the ESA, that planet Earth is apparently around 4.6 billion years old. Now, from what we know from the narratives that we've been given as Homo sapiens or human beings by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, concerning the Apollo lunar program, when it comes to Apollo 11, that landed on the moon on the 24th of July 1969, Apollo 12 with its information from the 24th of November 1969, and Apollo 14 with its data and information that took place on the 9th of February 1971, it's believed the moon was dated to be 5.3 billion years old. And the actual microfine dust upon the surface of the moon was estimated to be about 1.5 billion years older. So again, this really throws up some rather unique questions. One of which we can really say is, you know, can C14 radiocarbon dating therefore be used to prove that rocks on the moon are 6.7 billion years old or more?
And would you think it proves it? Do you think that is enough?
No, it's not, it doesn't, because C14 radiocarbon dating is only accurate to around 54,900 years. And then there's usually up to a 98% inaccuracy rate after that. So it can't be. We have to also remember the moon is purported to have variably layered magnetic fields. And the exact origin of these types of undulating magnetic fields has never been fully verified. But when it comes to the tectonic quakes that we know have been recorded on a regular basis through seismographic instrumentation that was on board, for example, the Apollo 11, Apollo 12, and Apollo 14, we know that there is a lot of seismic activity or tectonic quakes that are going on the surface of the moon that technically shouldn't be going on. We know from a lot of the data that has come back from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, that it appears that large subterranean reaches or expanses inside the moon appear to be excavated out. There seems to be very large cavernous locations, passageways that technically should not exist. And so the only thing that really could create the moonquakes is possibly ongoing internal excavations very much deeper down inside the midpoint or the centralized areas of the moon, combined with various anomalous magnetic field activity.
Because they state the actual quakes are happening like 50 to 100 kilometers underneath the moon's surface, aren't they?
That's right, indeed. Mm. So, for example, we understand that this seismographic instrument data that had been extracted, collated, and integrated from the explorations of Apollo 11, Apollo 12, and Apollo 14 have clearly shown that in areas such as the Mare Frigoris, which is located in the Procellarum Basin on the Moon, and also in areas like the Mare Imbrium, that is located in the Imbrium Basin, a lot of seismic activity is known in the past and perhaps still going on now, you know, here in the 21st century, to be an ongoing, credible set of events that is taking place.
And just to explain, sorry, just quickly, when you mentioned them locations, just so people know, the moon has actually been completely mapped out. There is actually, you know, they've named the moon, haven't they, all different locations, and there is a moon map, isn't there, Steve?
Yeah, and there is indeed. There's many, many cartographic maps of the moon. What we do also know is that the seismic activity, these tectonic quakes, these moon quakes, the weird quakes are really taking place on the dark side of the moon. Now, we know that it's been heavily theorized for many, many decades that there is some kind of secret space program or SSP, and therefore some kind of spaceport, some kind of interstellar cityscapes exist on the dark side of the moon, which is permanently concealed from observations here on planet Earth. You know, so that's interesting to note. And if it's that case that a lot of it's going on because of subterranean excavations in the furthest reaches within the midpoint or the midway sections of the moon, where they're literally maybe shape charge blasting out or using kinds of laser-based equipment or perhaps electroacoustic kinds of occult technology that aren't understood here on planet Earth, these various ultra-terrestrials or extraterrestrials or whichever kinds of the kind of life forms exist on the dark side of the moon, perhaps that's really what's behind a lot of this. We can therefore perhaps look at the idea of conceptualizing the thought that inside the moon there is such vast quantities of occult technology, of mechanisms, gadgets, various kinds of highly advanced technical installations that perhaps give us certain types of electromagnetic wavelengths that create certain types of vibrations or perhaps oscillations. This is what is activating these various kinds of subsurface tectonic quakes that are being picked up by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, and by the European Space Agency, or the ESA.
It's always interesting, obviously, with the moon. We never get to see, obviously, the dark side of the moon. We only get to see one surface of the moon as it flies around the planet. I've always been intrigued by that. There probably is a scientific explanation for it. But I've always been fascinated with the way we don't ever get to see the other side. It's almost like that dark side of the moon is hidden. Literally.
It is. And we have to remember that there's been so many individuals who are credible, who are renowned academics, who've been involved in looking at the various tectonic quakes or that whatever you want to coin them as, the seismic activity, especially on the dark side of the moon. And we have to remember that a planetary sciences meeting was chaired by Peter Rupert Stoddard from the Department of Geology and Environmental Geosciences at Northern Illinois University, and by Richard Chester Elphick from the Institute of Geophysics and Planetary Physics, or the IGPP, at the Los Alamos National Laboratory on the 17th of August 1985. Now, during this planetary sciences meeting, a very substantial amount of credible scientific evidence was produced that clearly confirmed and showed that there is ongoing, very strange or very bizarre seismic activity going on upon the surface of the moon, and predominantly on the dark side of the moon.
And the explanation, really, it's never really explained fully to the public, is it? That it's just that they're happening. And I mean, what has been
still today in terms of what the mainstream media do give, say, the American people or Joe Public or the citizens of the Dominion of Canada or anywhere, really, including in the United Kingdom of Great Britain or any country in mainland Europe, information or data is censored, is filtered. What is allowed to be given to Joe Public is very, very much edited, and there's reasons for that. I mean, you could say reasons for national security, purposes, or perhaps it's because there is a secret space program, SSP, which is connected to what is going on with the spaceports on the dark side of the moon. And none of this can really be discussed, just as perhaps a lot of what's going on in the Cydonia region on the planet Mars is also being heavily concealed. And the facts on the planet Mars, again, we have what are known as the Martian underground cities. Mm. And these are supposed to be literally possibly in excess of over a million years old or more. And actually were constructed originally by the original inhabitants, these very tall Martian Aryans or Nordic Martians, for want of a better phrase, that had once existed on the surface of the planet Mars. So there's a lot of concealment, a lot of filtering going on.
Well, I think a lot of it's really to do with the fact we've run with a story for so long.
The narrative,
with a narrative, and now we're at that breaking point. And
yeah,
you know, if we did release that information, as we've said many times before, it would create a civil chaos. You know what I mean? It would create uproar in society, you know. So
absolutely. And it's very interesting to note that there was another important gathering that took place on the 1st of January 2004. And it was a gathering that was part of what's called the UTIG seminar series that was held at the University of Texas Institute for Geophysics, or the UTIG, in Austin, which is located in Travis County in South Central Texas. Now, on the 1st of January 2004, this gathering that was part of the UTIG seminar series facilitated certain studies concerning tectonic quakes and magnetic distortions that were consistently seen to be present on the surface of the moon, and also in the deepest reaches in the subterranean locations of the moon. The actual scientific paper that was presented as part of the UTIG seminar series was titled Deep Moonquakes, Remaining Problems. And this was also designated as document ID 200501691922. The presentation was actually given by Professor Emeritus called Yoshio Nakamura, who himself is also from the University of Texas Institute for Geophysics. So, again, a huge amount of very credible evidence was produced, again showing ongoing seismic activity, tectonic quakes occurring with magnetic field distortions on the dark side of the moon.
Mm.
Now, again, I'll reiterate, is it the case that there are ultra-terrestrials or extraterrestrials who have constructed vast interstellar spaceports or interstellar cityscapes with launch pads, and a lot of this magnetic field activity that's causing these, shall we say, reverberations that are affecting the subsurface reaches of the moon, resulting in tectonic activity that is rather substantive, is very clear, is very evidential. Mm. And what we're seeing is we're being given this kind of sanitized, whitewashed reasoning from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, as to what these sort of tectonic quakes, the seismic activity is. You know, it's just one of those unusual, bizarre kinds of phenomena.
Just happens.
It just happens, but it's not given further levels of investigatory reasoning or study by any of the academics. And what it is because if there is a secret space program or SSP out there on the dark side of the moon, I mean, for reasons of national security, there's no way that information is going to be broadcast through the mainstream media.
What's interesting is the way it's on other moons as well in our solar system. So
that's right.
Obviously this happens on other moons, around Jupiter, Saturn. Obviously it happens on Mars as well. There are actually Mars quakes as well. So this is all going on. So obviously it's a planet. I'm just saying what I'm interested in. Do you think this goes on in other types of moons?
I think it's the norm. I think you'll find, for example, Phobos and Deimos that orbit around the planet Mars are, you know, it's believed people, you'll hear academics that are there for the common people say, they may well have been for their main asteroid belt, and because of gravitational distortions, they were dislodged from their, you know, their orbital pathways between the planet Mars and the planet Jupiter. And then what happened was they got locked into an orbit around the planet Mars many thousands of years ago. So again, you get the sanitized version, but actual extensive studies have shown there are a very large cavernous excavated out areas inside Phobos and Deimos.
Wow.
And it may be the case that they were some kind of interstellar, early warning stations or laboratories or research facilities of some type or another that were placed into orbit for whatever reason around the planet Mars many, many aeons ago. Same thing with our moon orbiting here around the planet Earth. We then look at the various Jovian moons, the Saturnian moons, the Uranian moons and the Neptunian moons in the outer solar system. And we see from looking at them very closely, there are many bizarre, clearly artificial structures on the surfaces of many of these different spherical bodies. They don't make any sense. And it's likely they have also been either entirely or partially excavated out by ultra-terrestrials and extraterrestrials, using them, again, as early warning systems, spaceports, launch pad facilities, or perhaps they're part of some kind of mining and resources management apparatus that's going on within this area of the solar system, within the Milky Way galaxy. Again, it's all open to speculation.
But they do this asteroids as well. Actually, you do have quakes as well.
Well, you've got to remember that.
How's that happening? I mean, that's mental.
That would depend on the kinds of precious metals, the various ores. You also got to remember that the actual main asteroid belt was originally the planet Maldek that orbited around the sun between the planet Mars and the planet Jupiter. That was completely destroyed and fragmented into becoming the main asteroid belt. So there may be various kinds of mechanistic devices that may be types of free energy systems that are still embedded deep within the subterranean reaches of some of the larger bodies within the main asteroid belt, that are actually emitting different bizarre sort of electromagnetic frequencies and vibrations that collectively could cause magnetic distortions and kinds of reverberations that again could simulate types of quake activity in the main asteroid belt. Again, I'm obviously just putting this information out there and speculating. I'm not saying I'm right about this or I'm wrong about it, but there is partially anomalous questions that are left unanswered. And if we bring it closer to home, back to our moon orbiting planet Earth, it nothing makes any sense with the moon when you start to really analyze all the actual technical data, the specifications. And it's ironic, you can take much of that data and look at it that has actually come from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, and the European Space Agency, or the ESA. But again, Western science goes very quiet, very quickly, and you won't get any of the real answers or the true answers on what's going on the dark side of the moon with all these different kinds of seismic activity and tectonic quakes at all. And you're not going to see it published in Scientific American or Nature magazine or, New Scientist or anywhere else. It's this class is too contentious. It's too much of a concern.
I think the key there when I looked into the reason publicly we're told about it is because it's to do with the magnetism of the Earth that the moons get these quakes, and obviously to do with the tidal flows. But then obviously if this is happening on the moons around Mars, there is apparently no water, no tides on Mars. So how that is affecting them. I'm just kind of reiterating the frivolous stories that we're given.
There's layers of layers of speculation that can, there's layers of speculation. And what you're doing is you're opening up more questions within questions.
Yeah.
And it's
humbling very, down rabbit holes.
It is. And it's rabbit holes that turn left, they turn right. And I mean, we have to remember there was another incredible scientific paper that was published on the 1st of January 2005 by the American Geophysical Union, or the AGU. and was given the very specific and concise title of Correlations Between Magnetic Anomalies and Surface Geology, Antipodal to Lunar Impact Basins. Now, right. This fascinating paper was presented by Nathan Carson Richmond from the Institute of Geophysics and Planetary Physics, or the IGPP, at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, and the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California, by Lonnie Lamar Hood, or Lon Lamar Hood, as some individuals refer to him. And he is from the Lunar and Planetary Laboratory at the College of Science in the University of Arizona in Tucson, Pima County in South Central Arizona. Now, the information they give was very detailed and very, very interesting concerning the surface geology and the magnetic anomalies or magnetized areas. And I don't really want to get into sort of quoting from it because it's extensive, but they refer to the strongest concentrations of lunar crust or magnetic anomalies or magnetized areas are located in the antipodal, which means opposite sides of the moon to the four large similarly aged impact basins. And you have to understand what they're referring to there is some kind of geometric alignment going on in terms of the magnetic anomalies in conjunction with the tectonic quakes or the seismic activity or the moonquakes that are taking place. That in itself could be theorized because there is subterranean excavations going on with specific types of industrialized scale, you know, macro scale machinery.
Yeah.
And cutting away using using kinds of electroacoustic occult technology or some kind of advanced shape charge blasting or laser weaponry. To cut away the subterranean geostrata to create more cavernous openings for maybe storage facilities to place, you know, spaceships or for the storing of various kinds of technical equipment.
You think these are running on some
instrumentation?
Sort of, yeah. Do you think these are running on some sort of ley line through space?
I think the ultra-terrestrials and extraterrestrials are absolute experts in understanding geomagnetic ley lines, whether they're on the moon, on the planet Earth, the planet Mars, or anywhere else, you know, in the solar system. And obviously, across billions upon billions of planets and moons throughout the Milky Way galaxy, the Sagittarius dwarf spheroidal galaxy, and beyond, you know, in thousands of light years in all directions. I think it's innate within many of the interstellar civilizations to have a very full and very complete discernible understanding of geomagnetic ley lines and the intersections of those ley lines that open into the 4D holographic reality of the astral plane, or perhaps into parallel dimensions, parallel realities, or parallel universes.
Yeah, I see them, these ley lines, like vortex gates. They're ways that they can travel. And I believe, you know, same on the planets. There was once a time when people could actually traverse over these ley lines and actually travel along them. And obviously, going to UFOs, I mean, just taking it up, when people see UFOs, they're often seen around ley lines. They're often seen around nodes. Very common.
That's right. And if you've got to remember, on the moon, you've got the Korolev crater, the Belkovich crater, the Volkov crater, the Pavlov crater, the Apollo crater, and the Daedalus crater, which are all on the opposite side of the moon, where so much of this seismic activity is going on. And all of those lunar craters were shown to be intensely magnetized areas, which therefore suggests that there must be some kind of subterranean projected electromagnetic frequencies or vibrations that are being transmitted out from below the surface of the dark side of the moon, you know, through the Korolev crater, the Belkovich crater, the Volkov crater, the Pavlov crater, the Apollo crater, and the Daedalus crater on a continual basis. And so much of this data, such as the data that was obtained from the orbiting satellite LM-100, Lunar Prospector, from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, on the 9th of January 1998 to the 14th of January 1998, really was concerned with looking at the absence of an overall magnetic field or magnetosphere around the moon, But what it was shown was magnetization was very much present on the dark side of the moon. Again, where we're theorizing there's a secret space program, or SSP, that's permanently concealed from observation by Homo sapiens or human beings here on planet Earth. And there's a lot of subterranean infrastructure that has been constructed in the various lunar craters on the dark side of the moon. For whatever reason, I think it's very busy. I'll be honest. I think it's a very busy area.
Do you think the actual craters, just talking then, when at least thinking, do you think the actual craters, do you think they could possibly be where this magnetization's getting pushed up through and they're actually not craters? That's just an idea.
Well, there's theorization that originally, when the moon was brought into the solar system, it was actually navigated into the solar system by the use of a projected singularity, and it was moving at sub-light speed, brought in, and then it wasn't originally even in orbit around planet Earth. It's believed to have been in orbit around the planet Jupiter.
Yeah.
And when it was brought into the solar system, this part of the inner solar system, the various lunar craters actually had huge silicon dioxide or glass canopies. So maybe they were actually originally constructed as surface storage locations or facilities for whatever reason. And it has been found in many locations on the surface of the moon, what appears to be huge shards of perfectly formed pure silicon dioxide or glass that is partially buried under the actual dust that, you know, that's on the surface, that sometimes is visible and will actually glint in direct sunlight.
So apparently there's been other research done into other lunar impact anomalies. So what's this about, Stephen?
So amongst so many of these scientific papers was one that was used at the 28th Lunar and Planetary Science Conference with the LPI contribution number of 941. And that was held between the 16th of March 1998 to the 20th of March 1998 in Houston, in Texas. And the actual document that was used in the presentation was titled Lunar Magnetic Anomalies and the Solar Wind, Possible Existence of Mini Magnetosphere. So apparently this document was written by Professor Minoru Kurata of the Tokyo Institute of Technology, and also by Hideo Tsunakawa, who was employed at the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences at the Tokyo Institute of Technology, and by Yasuyuki Sato of the Institute of Space and Astronautical Science and the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, or the JAXA. So it's quite interesting that these three incredible academics, Minoru Kurata, Hideo Tsunakawa, and Yasuyuki Sato, really go into detail in this incredibly fascinating document called Lunar Magnetic Anomalies and the Solar Wind, Possible Existence of Mini Magnetosphere, and really give a strong confirmation to do with the various geological and topographic features of the moon, with the various lunar craters, strong magnetic anomalies that seem to occur in geometrically aligned locations, and how this interconnects with the actual the downstream solar winds coming from our yellow dwarf star or the sun. So we could therefore postulate that these ultra-terrestrials or extraterrestrials that are occupying the dark side of the moon are so incredibly advanced in their own endeavors. They fully understand geomagnetic ley lines, how that interacts with the solar radiation of the sun, and they are somehow using these various natural impulses and vibrations as a way of exemplifying the usage of their own occult technology for the excavation of the subterranean locations that are underneath the dark side of the moon, presumably below very much key lunar craters there. And this is what's causing a lot of the tectonic activity or the seismic quakes that are being literally measured by the instrumentation from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, and the European Space Agency, or the ESA.
Amazing, Stephen. Thank you for all your incredible research and knowledge. It's always fantastic to have you here and articulating such complex, well, but I think, yeah, quite unknown, complex information that we're not given. And you do it in such a good way, clear way. It's fascinating. And we are going to continue the moon series. A lot more coming on the moon series. We've got other sections in the members as well where you can find out more. There is
a
chapter in our book, Luminous Worlds, which does have talk about the lunar anomalies and all this, what's going on. But we've recently released our book on Tartaria, which has just come out, and that's Vanished Kingdoms, and that's available on Amazon in paperback and hardback as well. An ebook will be coming very soon. Thank you, my brother. It's been amazing as always. And for now, it's a bye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.